17 this morning, if you would please, Luke chapter 17. A message from the Lord this morning, Luke chapter 17. And we're beginning here in verse 7, if you'd look with me please. Luke chapter 17, we're picking it up now in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. There's a good old English word. I trow not. What does that mean? Somebody tell me what you think that means. I trow not. I don't think so. Amen. I trow not. See, you don't need a new Bible. You can get it in the context. I trow not. I like that. Amen. I like that. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, this passage here, brethren, cuts right against the Laodicean spirit of our age. I mean, it just cuts right against it. You got a picture in this passage here. Here's a fellow, he's been working all day out in the field. He's been plowing or feeding the cattle or doing whatever he was told by his master to do. And he gets done a long, hard day, and he comes back inside, gets out of the heat a little bit, and wipes the sweat off his brow. And the Lord says, now when he does that, you think at that time the master is just going to be like, oh, wow, thank you for doing what you did in the field. Let me sit down now, and you have this food. And no, you know what that master's going to do? All right, now that you're done all that, now come on in here and take care of me and give me my dinner. And then after you do all that, you need to realize that you're just an unprofitable servant. You've only done that which was your duty to do. Is that kind of like a powerful message in Laodicea Church today? Is that preached a lot? You hear that preached a lot? You don't hear that preached. And what the Lord's talking about here, listen, this is the Lord's message on being a servant. What it truly means to be a servant. We talk about the doctrine of godliness, and that's what godliness is. The mystery of godliness was that Christ, the King of glory, in the mansions of heaven, humbled himself and came down to this earth and became a servant to all. Godliness, see? Godliness is that, being a servant. Today, the idea for most Christians is, well, I want what I deserve. I have my rights. I need to be recognized. I should be thanked for what I did. No, you're unprofitable servants. You only did that which was your duty to do. So who would say such a thing? Jesus. Jesus. And so he's given us a message here on being a servant. 3-point outline, real simple message today, but one that I hope will speak to each of our hearts here in Luke chapter 17. As discussing this idea of being a servant. And the first thing we see from this passage is having the heart of a servant. God's desire is for us to have a heart of a servant. Let's look at two places in our Bible now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And then after 1 Thessalonians 1, we're going to look in Romans chapter 6. So if you could find those two places in Scripture as quickly as possible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and Romans chapter 6. According to the Bible, when you got saved, you already knew that when you got saved, you were going to become a servant of Jesus Christ. That was part of the deal. When you repented and came to the Lord, you knew that when you trusted Christ as your Savior, that you were going to be required to then be a servant to Jesus Christ. That shouldn't have surprised you. Amen. Look there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves showed us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. There it is. They got saved. Why? To serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. Until Jesus comes back, what are we supposed to be doing? Serving the Lord. And you knew that, according to the Bible, when you got saved. When you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you knew that meant that, well, I'm going to have to do something now to put a smile on this Lord's face. I'm going to have to make my new master happy. When you're getting saved, all you're doing is getting a new master. Amen. That's what you're doing. See? And look there, Romans chapter 6. And the idea with a lot of Laodicean Christians today, it's a perverted kind of a thing. It's this idea that, okay, I got saved, so, all right, Lord, now you can serve me. No. We didn't get saved so the Lord could serve us. Are we okay? We got saved so we could serve the Lord. Amen? Could I get somebody to amen that? I mean, the idea so many Christians today is, well, I got saved, so now the Lord can just take care of me and help me out, and kind of this welfare mentality thing. No. You got saved to serve the Lord. Who were you serving before? See, look here in Romans chapter 6. Stay with me now. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. That was you before you were saved. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin. Look at that. Where were you before you came to Jesus Christ? You were a slave to sin. You were a slave to this world. You were a slave to the devil. And the Lord came and set you free. Not so that you could just be an anarchist, but so that you could now freely serve the Lord Jesus Christ as your new Lord and Master. In other words, the Lord just didn't set you free for you. He set you free, so now you would have the liberty to serve Him, to serve your brothers and sisters in love. Notice verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. There it is. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you have now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin. Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free from what? When you got saved, what are you supposed to get free from? Sin. Amen. Free at last. Being now made free from sin and become what? And become what? Help me out. Become what? Servants to God. What happened when you got saved? You know, the Bible says when we got saved, instead of being a servant to sin, instead of being a servant to this world, instead of being a servant to ourselves, we've now become a servant to the Lord. Amen? Having your fruit on the holiness unto the end, everlasting life. I want you to picture that thing. Look with me there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And picture this thing. The Bible talks about us now as Christians, as ministers and all that, as oxen. You know what an oxen does? It just goes out in the field and it plows. And it just plows. And it just, that's its job. That's its job. You know what the Lord said to you and I? Take my yoke upon you. What's a yoke for? That's what they put on the neck of an oxen. So they can serve. Amen. You know what the Lord said? Take my yoke. What's He asking you to do when He says, take my yoke? He's asking you to bend your head, to bend your neck, and to take His yoke for what purpose? So that you can be an oxen for Him. So that you can serve Him. And you know what the Lord said? My yoke. In other words, when you serve the Lord, you serve the Lord with the Lord. See, a yoke has more than, you put more than one ox in that yoke. So the Lord says, you get in the yoke, and on the other side of that yoke is the Lord. And so the only way that you can truly have fellowship and a walk with the Lord is when you're willing to serve the Lord. See, we're talking about a servant's heart. And that oxen, when he goes and he's going along with that other oxen, they walk together. And the Lord said, you take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is what?
Easy.
Easy. And my burden is what?
Light.
Why? Who's carrying most of the load? Who's doing most of the work? Come on now, help me out. Right? It's not us. When we're willing to submit, when we're willing to serve, it was the same thing, remember, with those priests when they were carrying that ark. When they decided to do it the Lord's way. You know what they did before? Oh, we're going to take the easy way out. Let's take this thing and put it on a cart. We don't have to bear any burden. We don't have to serve. We can just enjoy the things of God. Huh? Didn't work out too well, did it? Uzzah, breach, boom, death. And the Lord said, you have to do it the way I said to do it. But when they did that, you know what the Bible said? The Lord helped them so that those priests could offer sacrifices. What do you mean the Lord helped them? That ark's floating in midair. See, it looked like it was a great burden. The Lord said, you've got to carry that thing on your shoulders. But we see that when they were just willing to do it God's way, the burden was light. So it shouldn't be hard to serve the Lord. All the Lord is looking for is those that have a servant's heart. Amen? Those that have a servant's heart. And, you know, we think about the days of slavery, and there were some very cruel people back in those days that abused and took advantage, but there was also a lot of good people. That although they may have been considered a slave, they lived high on the hog, low on the chicken, man. They were taken care of. They were a blessing. And even after they were set free, they didn't want to go anywhere. They knew they had good there. They weren't mistreated. They weren't taken advantage of. We get the idea today that all slaves were treated that. That ain't true. Sure, there was bad. Just like there's bad people today. But not for the most part. Most of them were all taken care of. You know what they did now? They got out of there, and now they're under the government. Amen. And now the government's their master, telling them what to do. And you want the check, you got to come do this and you got to come do that. And we all are, in a sense, we all got to pay taxes. How many of you own your house? You think you own it? Wait until you don't pay the taxes on it. You know who owns it? You know who owns you? See, when you look at this world, I mean, you know, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, buddy. There it is. That's where we're at. Somebody sent me an email one time, and it was a fella, and he's got all these Christians out there, and they're walking through, and you know what, they all got their cross. They're dragging their cross. Isn't that the Lord said we had to do to serve him? We got to take up our cross daily, follow him. And you can tell this one guy, he didn't like it too much. And you know what he started doing? They started showing the little pictures of him. What he starts doing is he comes out there with a saw, and he starts cutting down his cross. So you can make it a little lighter. That's this kind of new Christianity today. We got a lighter crawl. You know, we don't have to bear the. We just make this little lighter thing. And then you see him a little while, he cuts it down again. You know. Next thing you know, he's just carrying this little bitty cross. Everybody else is carrying this big one. They're kind of dragging behind him. And then you see all of a sudden they come up to this chasm. And where there's a giant cliff, and then there's a canyon, and then there's a place to continue on the other side. And you see all these people taking that cross and laying it over the chasm so that it could walk across that place that they couldn't get across before. And then they're picking back up their cross again and going on. You see this fellow comes up to him, he's just looking. He can't go any further. Now why? He wasn't willing to take the Lord's cross. He decided he'd make his own. You see, as a servant, we've got to have a servant's heart. You can't be doing that stuff. You can't be doing that stuff. I think about that great... preacher, he was a slave, John Jasper. Right before the Civil War, right before Emancipation Proclamation, and right before they let slaves go and everything else, praise God. And before that, he got saved. He was still a slave when he got saved. And he was sitting there, and he had a good owner, master, whatever, and all that, took good care of him and all, but he's there, and his job was to take the stems out of the tobacco every day in the factory, and that's what he would do. It was a tobacco factory is where he worked. And so he's taking them stems out. He said he was the best one at it. But he said for about 6 weeks, the Lord had been all over him and chasing him down. And he said that morning he got up and he couldn't do one of those things right. He said he was just tearing up the backer. I tear up that back, I couldn't do nothing. And finally I just said, all right, Lord, it's time, you and me. While he's working, right there. And he said, all of a sudden, the floods of glory came into my soul. And I knew I had been redeemed. Hallelujah. And he said he worked for just a little while and he couldn't hold it anymore. And he went to this lady that had been dealing with him and kind of witnessing to him a little bit. And he went over her with his tobacco and he said, I just can't hold it in anymore. He said, I got to tell you, my soul has been redeemed. And all of a sudden everybody's going, John Jasper. And they're all starting to break out. And then all of a sudden the boss that's over him there, he's wanting to know what the commotion is. And John says, I'm sorry, boss. I just tell him, I my soul been redeemed. I know the Lord. The Lord just saved me. He says, all right, we all need to cut it down and get to work back there. He gets back to work. And then he goes back in, and the owner is asking him what's going on. He says, well, something got John Jasper guy down there. He got religion. And so anyway, his boss was a saved man. So he came down there, and he stopped the whole proceeding. And he said, now, John, why don't you tell us what just happened to you? And he started telling them, the Lord just redeemed my soul. And they said revival broke out in that place. Right? I mean, he was called to preach right on the spot, buddy. Called to preach right on the spot. He's on people getting saved. First day this fellow got saved and just gave in to the Lord. Something else, you know. And for a while there, he's still a slave. But his owner, who was a Christian, started getting him opportunities to preach in some of the black churches. He would go and start preaching in black church. And what happened? It wasn't very long. Word started getting out. And it didn't matter. There was probably maybe 6 or 8 different black churches around at that time. But he would go to one and they would all come to the one place to hear him preach. They all wanted to hear Brother John Jasper preach. And they'd come in here from all over the place, come in here, John. And finally, all the white, you know, owners and the workers there and everything else, they're like, well, what's going on? They must be up to this. Maybe they're conspiring against us or something. You know, they didn't know what was happening. Because, of course, at the same time, the Civil War's getting ready to start and all that, and they're all paranoid. And so they go in, they're all figuring out, you know what, they all end up getting saved. Amen. All these guys come in and get saved, and what a blessing. You say, what was that? That was a fellow, listen, he already knew what it meant to be a servant. We okay? Amen. And when he got saved, well, no problem for him at all. Amen. To realize who his master was and what he owed him. Amen. Well, when you think about some of you want to talk about some spiritual stuff going on. You want to talk about down in the South back in the day, and they'd be out there working in the field, singing those old spirituals, man. Oh, brother. Well, can you tell me about my Lord? Huh. And I mean, they'll be out there, and you just come by that place, just God all over them. Just Lord everywhere. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. You say, oh, yeah, those poor. Listen, they're freer than most Americans are today. You count on that. You count on that. Amen, amen, amen. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 22. Verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. How about that? You are bought. What price did the Lord pay to buy you and I? Huh? Oh yeah. His precious blood. You're going to have to serve, or you're going to have to get served. I like that old song, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Do you have a servant's heart, Christian? Do you have a servant? Are you worried about what the Lord owes you? Or are you just concerned about what you owe him? Listen, brethren, the church's job, are we okay? The church's job, if people have these weird ideas today, the church's job is not to serve you. The church's job is to help you to be a better servant for the Lord. We okay? Amen? That's what this whole thing's about. Lord, help me to be a better servant for you. Is that your desire? Do you have that servant's heart? Are you saved? Did the Lord shed his blood to purchase you? Do you have a desire to serve him? We're to help you and teach you and strengthen you so that you can become a servant. That's the idea. A young mulatto girl was being sold at auction one day. She was a beautiful girl, tall and slender. The bidding was keen and quickly mounted higher and higher until at least only two men were left bidding for her ownership. The one, a low, uncouth fellow who swearingly raises his bid every time to outbid the other, who was just a quiet man of refinement. Finally, the bidding stopped, and to the gentleman who had bid so very earnestly were given the papers which made him the lawful owner of the young girl. With a shove, the auctioneer presented her to her new master. Proudly, defiantly, she stood before him, hating him with every part of her being. Suddenly, a change came over her face. First, there was a look of pure amazement, closely followed by one of utter incredulity. Her owner was ripping up the papers of her ownership, and with a smile of kindness, said to the now trembling girl, "My dear, you are free. I bought you that I might free you." Too stunned for speech, the girl merely stared till finally, with a cry of happiness too deep for words, she cast herself at the man's feet and through her tears exclaimed, "Oh, master, I'll love you and serve you for life." What the papers of ownership could not do, the man's kindness had won completely. And what the law could not do, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that you and I may be set free. Oh, master, I'll serve you all my life. God, give us Christians with a servant's heart. You are bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. Isaiah 1:3, the Lord says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But my people do not understand." So what is it? They don't have a servant's heart. Look with me in Luke. Luke again, but this time in chapter 6, if you would please. And then we'll go back to Luke 17, but look first in Luke chapter 6. Does anybody here pray? Do you pray? Servants of the Lord, do you pray? When you pray, how do you pray? Do you pray as a servant? "Lord, would you help me to serve you better? Lord, would you provide for me that I can serve you better? Lord, would you help me so that I can help others better? Lord, would you just help me to be a better..." Is that how you pray? What do you pray for? You know, when James talks about that we pray that we may consume it upon our lusts, that's not a servant's heart, is it? I mean, are you praying for God's people and for their help, or is it just you? Is it about you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you have a servant's heart? We all should have a servant's heart, brethren. Look there in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Verse 46. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Good question, isn't it? Good question. Look back there in Luke chapter 17. Do you have a servant's heart? Being a servant, to be a servant, we have to have a servant's heart. And listen, to be a servant, we have to have the cause of a servant. Look back there in Luke chapter 17 and verse 7. "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat'? And will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink'? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'" If we're to be servants of the Lord, We have to have a servant's heart, but we also have to have the cause of a servant. You know what a servant's cause is? It's duty. That's what it is. It's duty. David said, as all were running from Goliath, and he stood to face him, it was a very simple question. Is there not a cause? Look with me in Ecclesiastes. In other words, David was duty-driven. David said, we have to. You know what a lot of Christians do? A lot of Christians are like this. Are you with me still? Are you awake this morning? Now stay with me. A lot of Christians, their idea is simply this. Boy, somebody ought to do something. Am I right? Come on now. You know, somebody ought to do something about that. Or is it, I wonder what I could do about that. Look with me there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Why? For this is the whole duty of man. As servants, we're to be duty driven. That is our cause. That is our purpose. When you go in the military, your purpose, your cause, is to fulfill your duty. And if you don't, brethren, court-martial, dereliction of duty, AWOL, deserter. Any soldiers of Jesus Christ? We have any soldiers of Christ here? What does a soldier know? Duty. Duty first, always. Duty first. Is there not a cause? Back in 1852, one of the greatest maritime disasters at all time took place on the troop ship Birkenhead, which was a British ship. And they were down off the coast of Africa, and they had a little base there, and they had taken many of the family who had relocated out there just for a day trip. And so they had a lot of the wives and children on board. And they struck some rocks, unawares, by the time they realized that the ship was taking on more water than they could do anything about. And they realized that ship was going to go down. And having all that extra family on there and having a full crew, they didn't have nearly enough rescue boats to rescue everybody that was on there. And so what the captain and the leadership decided to do was, instead of having the women and children and then just having the crew fight over whatever few spots were left, he had all the women and children get in the rescue boats and sent them all off and made them get away from the ship, and then started steering the ship in the opposite way from them so that anybody that may survive couldn't swim back and anyway hurt those wives and children as they tried to struggle for their own life. And so he hits that ship, and they start getting, that ship starts going down with the wives and children in those lifeboats looking. The last command they heard that captain make was, man the rails! And every single one of those sailors came out, manned the rail, the edge of that ship, and stood at attention and saluted as that ship went down. Say, what would drive them to do that? Only one thing. Duty. Say, what were they doing? Their duty. Nothing more. Nothing less. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, what did he do? He did his duty. That's what he did. How about you, servant? What does the Lord ask from us but to do our duty? I was thinking about that story over there in Acts chapter 27. Where Paul gets on that boat and he tells him, Paula, it ain't gonna be good, guys. Storm's coming. Y'all better hold on. But the Lord showed me that there'll be no loss of life. So y'all just hold on. And that night, happens to go out there and they discover, you know what they discovered? There was a few crew members trying to get out of doing their duty. You know what they were doing? Listen, you know what they were doing? They were trying to slip off that ship. In the dark of night, so that others wouldn't see. Isn't that something? Say what? They weren't compelled by their duty. They were looking out for themselves. You know what the Lord said? You better stay on that ship. Don't be abandoning ship just because the seas got a little rough. You better stay on. Think about it. You know what amazes me? I think about back in 9/11, after 9/11 happened. You talk to these army recruiters, these military recruiters, after 9/11, they had 70-year-old men knocking on the recruiters' offices, seeing if there's some way they could get back in and serve. When they got attacked and when they got hit, you know what first thing that came to their heart and came to their mind? Duty. I got to help fight. It wasn't abandoning ship. It wasn't, well, I got to look out for me and my, well, come on now. What was it? What was the spirit? What was the attitude in that thing? God, give us some Christians like that. Seems like church gets hit or church family gets hit or something like that. It's everybody, every man for himself, and let's abandon ship. That's pretty bad now. When you got lost people out there with a better sense of duty than God's people. And when we've done all that, what do we say? Well, we're unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. Are you reading your Bible? Trying to be faithful to church? You've been praying? Witnessing? Resisting temptation best you can? Trying to have a walk with God, stay close to God, walk in the Spirit? Are you obeying the commandments? You know what you're doing? You're doing your duty. That's all you're doing. I was reading over a book I have from Watchman Nee on the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life these days ain't so normal, brother. We have this idea this way, if somebody's doing anything for the Lord, there's something special. That should be every Christian. That should be every one of us. We should all have a servant's heart. We should all have that cause of duty. You know what gives us that cause? Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not going to keep you too long here, but I want you to see this. It's important we get a hold of this, brother. We have to understand when the Lord's talking about being a servant, what does he mean? What's he talking about? We have to have that servant's heart. Do you have it? We have to understand that call of duty. You know the Bible talks about the duties of a husband, the duties of a wife. You know why we have so many divorces these days? People don't understand the call of duty. Do you realize as a church member, you have a duty? As a leader, you have a duty? Huh? As a husband, you have a duty? As a child, you have a duty? What's your duty? Would you have a cause? If it isn't duty, what is it? Look with me here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Should that not compel us to duty? That's what he says. Look. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he that died for all, that they which live, look at it, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. What is that? That's the constraining love of Christ that calls us to that sense of duty. A Christian that doesn't have a cause of duty does not understand the love of Christ. Your boss at work don't love you as much as Jesus did. But you'll be faithful to him. Your buddies that you like to hang around don't love you like Jesus did. Yet you'll bend over backwards for them. It's a sense of duty. Do you love your family? Then you know what happens automatically? There's a sense of duty. That wife that loves her husband, that loves her children, do you think it's hard for her to get up and make the breakfast and help out and keep the house clean. It should be a joy because she has that sense of duty. She's constrained by love. That husband that truly loves his wife and his children, he's constrained by love. Do you love your family? Do you love your church? See, if you loved your church, you'd be constrained to duty. If you love your country, you'll be constrained to duty. And if you love the Lord, you'll be constrained out of love for duty. That's all it is. It's the heart of a servant. It's the call of a servant. But don't miss this now. Let's save the best to last. Look back in Luke. And we see that it's a pretty rough passage. Now, the Lord's laying us on it. He's laying it on us there. No doubt about it. But let's not forget, within this, there is a great promise. And let's not forget it. You with me still this morning? Stay with me now. Look. Luke chapter 17, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and what? Serve me till I have eaten and drunken. Then look at this. And afterward, thou shalt eat and drink. There's a promise of reward for a servant. But you know what the Lord says? It's not now. It's afterward. See, a lot of Christians want it now. It's not now. It's afterward. Are you willing to wait? You see, because if you had the heart of a servant, and if you had that call of a servant, you'd wait. You'd be willing to wait. Because you'd want to make sure that your Lord, that your master, was well taken care of before you consider the needs of yourself. Are we okay this morning? But afterward? Don't forget, there is an afterward. You get a little weary in well-doing, servant, don't forget, there's an afterward. You kind of falling out by the way. Hey, don't forget, servant! There's an afterward. There's a promise of reward to the servants of God. Look back in chapter 12, if you would please. Luke chapter 12. It's just not now. Oh, y'all talking about that by and by, pie in the sky. Yep, absolutely. I like pie. Amen. But it's not now. Hold your fork. Dessert's coming. But it's not yet. We're still to be busy in the field. We're still to be serving. Our time has not yet come. His time is already. Luke chapter 12 and verse 37. Blessed, here it is. Here it is. Blessed are who? You want to be blessed? I'm trying to give you a blessing this morning. You want to be blessed? How are you going to be blessed? Those servants. A servant's heart. A servant's call. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Hey, they ain't sleeping on the job. They're ready. They're busy. They're active. Verily I say unto you. Now look at this promise. That he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat. And will come forth and serve them. That's the Lord saying, now one day, I'm going to gird myself. I'm going to put on the apron. I'm going to have you seated at the table. And I'm going to come and satisfy you to your heart's content. But it's not now. Now, all he's asking, all he wants to do, listen, when he comes, what does he want to find us doing? Serving. Because who's he going to say that to? He's only going to say that to who? His servants. To those that are serving him, he one day will serve them. Look at verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, look at that now, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. The half has not been told. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. Neither hath entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what he said. But it's not now. It's afterward. It's afterward. Look in John, after Luke, John chapter 12. Now stay with me for just a few more minutes and we'll be done. Think about it. How close are we to the finish line, brother? Now, none of us knows for sure. Would you agree with me? We're getting pretty close to the finish line. Wouldn't it be a bad thing to look back from the plow now? Wouldn't that be pretty rough after all this time of serving? To throw in the towel? Say, what's the point anyway? Just scrap the whole thing. Lord, come next month and find you no longer serving after all that time. Wouldn't that be something? I'm just trying to help you. Don't let that be the case. We got to keep serving. When the times get rough, when the storms come, we got to stay in the boat. We got to have the call of duty. We got to have that heart of a servant. It's not now, it's afterward. But you got to keep that hope alive. You got to keep looking down the road. Look with me in John chapter 12 now, verse 25. Verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, if any man what? Serve me. Let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Where is he at? Somebody help me out. Where's Jesus right now? On the throne in heaven? Then where are you going to be? He shall be seated with me in my throne, is what he says in Revelation. What did he just say back there? Well, I'll make him ruler. Oh my, we have no idea. Notice verse 26, if any man serve him, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You think that's going to be every Christian? No. But for those who are willing to serve, to truly have that servant's heart, to have that servant's call and cause, one day he's going to sit down, gird himself, and serve us. Matthew, and we'll be done. You're saying, well, don't we all go to heaven if we're saved? Sure, go to heaven. We're talking here of a reward. This is a servant's reward. It's only for servants. It'll be worth being a servant one day, brother. You know when God finally delivered Israel? That's a picture of the rapture, brought him through the Red Sea to bring him into Canaan land. That thing's a picture of the rapture. That's a picture of a birth. That's a picture of us going to heaven. And what were they doing when he delivered them? That was the first case of slavery in the Bible. It was those Jews. They were slaves down in Africa. God called them out. You know what he's going to do for you and I one day? He's going to set us free, for sure, fully. And it may be soon. Are you ready? If you're a servant, there's a promise. See? The servant's reward. Look with me in Matthew 25. We're done. Matthew 25. What if you could hear these words one day? Would it not be worth it all to have served him? Matthew 25. We all have it. Look with me, please, in verse 21. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Could anybody here offer me something better than Jesus telling me, Well done, thou good. You got something better than that to offer anybody? You realize what the Lord has offered us? For you to stand before the Lord of glory one day, the Lord Jesus Christ, and him to look at you eye to eye, the one that made the sun, the moon, the stars, to look at you eye to eye and say, Well done. So what is that? Servant's reward. Now it's afterward. Right now we're to be in the yoke. Right now we're just to be keeping our eyes on the row that the Lord has put before us. Stay faithful. Have that humility of a servant, the heart of a servant, the cause and the call of a servant in our lives. And one day, we'll receive a servant's reward. Would anybody like to be a servant for Jesus? Let's stand for prayer.